Well, let me start off by saying haste makes waste. Because if you look in the bulletin, it's got last week's sermon title in there. Why? Because in my haste to get the bulletin out, I didn't change it. Anyhow, the sermon this week, if you didn't look out at our sign out there, is Lord, give me your dream. And this came about from something that was posted on the church's Facebook page, which, if you are on Facebook and you have not liked our page, I would invite you to do so. It's a lot of good stuff that is put up there. So this came from something that was put up there, and there was a line in it that I said, "Ooh, sermon fodder. I like sermon fodder." So there's a insert in your a bulletin with the scripture that I'm going to be talking about today. So let me ask you a question. When you were a small lad or lass, what did you want to be when you grew up? A sailor, okay. A nurse. Didn't work out that way, did it? No. Huh? You wanted to be bigger. I remember being 9 years old saying, "I can't wait till I grow up." And now I'm going to be 58. And I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? But anyhow, when I really didn't think too much about what I wanted to be until about sixth grade. And there was TV, there was, yeah, there was TV, but there was ads on TVs for a local trade school that talked about draftsmen. Everything that is created needs a draftsman. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good to me. I like drawing and I like figuring stuff out. And then when I got into high school, I wanted to be a chemical engineer. I like chemistry. I like physics. And I went off to college to be a chemical engineer. And I had 2 semesters of freshman chemistry, two semesters of freshman physics. I squeaked by fall chemistry, and I dropped out of second semester physics. First semester was all mechanical physics, which is wonderful. Work, potential energy, kinetic energy, all that other stuff. Second semester, electrical physics. And I said, I don't want to be a chemical engineer anymore. So I went undecided for about a month and then switched over to computer systems, mostly because I was taking a class in basic computer language. I was like, you know what? This is pretty cool. I like that. So, and I will share, because he's not here, when Ethan was in kindergarten, he wanted to be a paleontologist because he loved dinosaurs. Then he started playing Minecraft and he said, you know what? Maybe I want to be an architect. And then he said, well, maybe I want to be a statistician. And I was like, no, you don't want to do that. And now he wants to get into data analytics, which daddy says yes to. So my dream, so to speak, didn't happen. Janice's dream didn't happen. You didn't become a nurse, you became a teacher. I think we could all go about thinking about all of the dreams that we had that didn't come about. One of my dreams was to grow up, get married, and have my 2.4 children. Well, I grew up, I got married, don't have the 2.4 children. As a matter of fact, Holly and I are very blessed to have one child. So that dream had to be set aside. As again, as do a lot of our dreams. And as of late, a lot of my dreams, the things that I wanted to do, don't seem to be occurring. No matter how hard I try, it just is not working. What the heck? What the heck, man? You know, Jesus, I'm following you. Why don't you give me my dream? Huh? What's up? You see, we as Christians, we say that we want that we give ourselves to Jesus and we want to take and we want to obey his will. But a lot of times, we don't want to obey his will. We want God to behave, to accept our will, to bring about the things that we want to happen, to make our dreams come true. And there's a problem with that. Because unlike God, I'm not omnipotent. I don't know everything. I don't know all the events that God has planned for my life, for our lives, to bring about things, to bring about His will. So, what do we do? Well, the bottom line is we have to stop saying, Lord, I want this. This is the way things have to be. And say things like, Lord, I want to follow your will. Give me your dream for me, for my life. Now, it's okay to kind of think about stuff. You know, I want to be a chemical engineer. God said, uh-uh. Not in the cards for you, Tim. I got something else that I want you to do. So we have to take and be in tune, so to speak, with God. Well, how do we do that? Well, I have four scriptures that I would like us to take a look at today. The first is from the prophet Micah in the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What do I have to do? What do I think I need to do? Verse 8 says, He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does God require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your Lord. That's the start. You see, we've got to get ourselves into a position where we are not just blabbering on to God about all the things that are wrong, all the things that we want to happen, and going continually and continually on. And we need to remember that what is required of us is simply to do justice, to love kindness or to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If we embody that, especially that last thing, walk humbly with your God. Remember that it is Him, not us. I must decrease so that Christ may increase. I got to get out of my own way sometimes. By seeking justice, by loving kindness, by being merciful to others and walk humbly with your God, you get yourself into a better position that God can take and show you what the dream is. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. That's a powerful one. Do not rely on your own insight. How many of you think you're pretty smart? Yeah, you. Gary, was that a hand up? Turn closed captioning on there, Gary. No. I said, who here thinks that they are smart? Huh? Nah. Nah, he didn't. Yeah, no. How many people go through life thinking that they know everything? They know what needs to be. I know what needs to be done in this situation. All you got to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And He will wave His magic wand, and all of a sudden life will be roses and unicorns. That's one of my favorite ones. The point being is, yes, God has made us intelligent. God has given us this wonderful thing called a brain. Not everybody uses it, but everybody has one. And we can think and we can reason. And God wants us to use that. But we have to keep ourselves from falling into that trap that we think that we always know best. We might think that we know what to do. We think that we know what we are going to be when we grow up. But the reality is, we need to lean on God because His wisdom, His insight, a lot better than mine or anyone else's. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. How many of you have ever hiked a newly cut path in the woods? It's pretty easy, isn't it, Gary? What? You got to be prepared, right? I mean, a newly cut path, number one, you can't see it very well, because while they may have cleared aside the brush, there is not that nice dirt path that you can take and you can follow along. And a lot of times that path is crooked because you come up on a big rock or you come up onto a cliff and you can't go straight. You got to go around it and it winds around. I mean, just look at our interstate system. How many of you have ever driven 77 north up to Charleston? Yep. You know what we call 77 from like Wytheville up to Charleston? We call it the roller coaster. Because what are you doing? Vroom, vroom, vroom. Slow down, 55 miles an hour. You get up on two wheels. Yes, it is beautiful. I will give you that. But it's a twisty son of a gun. Not like when you get up and you get on 77 North above Charleston and it's straight all the way up to Akron, Ohio, where you hang a right, I get on 76 and you go over to your parents' house. A twisty path is hard. A twisty road is hard. I remember one time I took somebody, I'm an Uber driver, and I took somebody from Christiansburg down into deep, dark Floyd. Okay? Floyd is nice, although Route 8 is another little bit of a roller coaster. But I took this guy into deep, dark Floyd, where there was no cell reception. No cell reception means no GPS. No GPS means, seek and ye shall find. And it was dark. I mean, dark. This was a moonless night. And I was like, okay, I think I know. All right, I'm going to go this way. And you're driving along, and all of a sudden, you have all the twists. You come around a curve, and there's a UPS truck. And you got to hit the brakes. But eventually, after a lot of white knuckle, I was able to make it back out. So when we lean on God, we lean on His wisdom, we lean on His knowledge, life gets a little bit straighter. We better see what we are being called to do, who we are to talk to. Going on, Matthew 6:10. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That's what we pray. We pray that every week. How many of you actually have thought about that? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your being God the Father on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we are praying that God would rule here on earth as he does in heaven. That his will would be made known to us and to all people. Which again goes back to it leads to the question, do you consider yourself smart? I once heard somebody say, have you ever noticed that in the Bible, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd a lot of times, and we are called the sheep. Anybody, yeah. Why do you think we're called sheep? What do you know about sheep? What's that? You what? You can't drive them either. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals in the world. They'd be lost without their shepherd. They'd be lost. They wouldn't know where the heck to go. And this person went on, you know, if you take all the accumulated knowledge of the world up to this point in time, you put it in a big old stack. And then you compare that to the knowledge and the wisdom of God. That pile of knowledge just seems to say, bah. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, we have problems with that sometimes, but we have to let go. And the last thing that we need to remember, and this comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little. I know what it is to have plenty in any and all circumstances. I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I remember preaching on this, and I remember having the kids down front with me. And I said, okay, we're going to fly around the sanctuary. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Nothing happened. But doesn't this say, you know, I can do all things through him who strengthens me? Well, you got to look at that in the light, the correct light. The reality thing is, I cannot do everything. There's certain things that I can do. I couldn't be a surgeon. Blood is a little bit icky sometimes. I found out I cannot be a school teacher. I definitely know that I do not, would not have the patience or whatever to be a lawyer. I'd get too frustrated. What Paul is saying here is, you know, number one, he is content with whatever he has. Wherever he is at, he accepts it. He is content. When you are content, you're not focusing on that which you do not have, which you are not. You are more open. You're more of that blank slate. When Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, what he really is saying is that I can do whatever God wants me to do through him, God, Jesus, who strengthens me. Whatever God wants me to do, whatever dream God has for me, whatever task that he wants me to do, I can do it. Might not do it very well at the beginning, but gosh darn it, I'm going to learn how to do it. So, we're all dreamers. We dream about life. We dream about what we're going to be when we grow up. And when I grow up, I'll let you know. But the most important thing is we need to dream the dreams, to follow the dreams that God has for us. For these are part of his plan. These are part of his will for us. So dream your dreams, but leave room for God and his dreams for you. Amen.